This program is brought to you by the Kentucky Women Writers Conference on iTunes U at the University of Kentucky in Lexington. For more information on the conference and to access our complete audio archive, visit us online at kentuckywomenwriters.org.
Hi, how's everybody doing? Thank you, Bianca. Although it's been interesting today, talking about the slam, I have not slammed in 15 years. This is what happens when you do it and you do it. I know, you do it a lot and it just kind of follows you like, and that's good because I wouldn't trade it for anything. But I just wanted you to know that I'm probably not going to be up here all heat and motion and everything. You know, I'm not going to do that. that's for the, you know, that's for the Gypsy Slam. What I am going to do is I'm going to read a couple of poems from a new manuscript that's due in 4 days. Please give me poems if you have them, because I'm not done. It started out being about Motown, because Motown held real sway over me when I was a kid. All my ideas about life and love and romance were pretty much defined by whatever Motown song was out at the time. And there was a song out every 2 weeks, so. And I started out writing about that. I was writing persona poems and some Motown artists' voices and you know, about the music. Then I realized that what I was really writing about was not Motown, but the fact that my generation was the first generation up north. Both of my parents had migrated from the South in the early 50s. And so my parents arrive in the city and they're kind of confounded and they're left to raise a child and they don't know much about their environment. And so there were a lot of other things conspiring to raise us, and music was one of those things. But I wound up writing about that time and my parents. So I also have been dabbling a lot with form. I'm trying to plump my toolbox so that, you know, sometimes when you have a poem and you have it and nothing's happening, sometimes it's because that poem is asking for something that maybe you haven't mastered yet or something you're not aware of. So I'm trying to learn form. So, but I also don't want you to know the poems in a form. Yeah, okay. Because I don't want it to be overwhelming. So this is in a form, which explains its length. You ever wonder how your parents got together? Like you look at them and go, I'm not really seeing this, you know? So I try to imagine, my mother's a very staunch church-going woman, and my father was a blues growler, you know? And I tried to figure that out. So I wrote this poem in alternating voices, trying to imagine them when they first reached Chicago. And it should be easy enough to figure out who's my mom and who's my dad. Okay? Starts off with my father. It's called Otis and Annie, Annie and Otis. She's a gum-cracking, bow-legged church decent gal, raised up, looks like, by a mama who prayed and aimed her toward right. I feel a rumbling neath that skirt, though. Some rhythm of city even before she made it here. A little bit of Chicago that child just couldn't keep out of her strut. Careful with this one, Otis, because that gold flashing in her mouth ain't intended for God. Dress like a real upright Christian for a few days. Let her see you sharp and crease up and smelling sweet. Say Annie, like it's the first word you learned and the last one you'll say. But I won't be crossing the line, having that woman think I'm the marrying kind. She start dreaming on a white dress and babies wearing my face. Lord, that ain't what I want. Is there a life outside of Jesus? Then that's what I want, at least for a few days, nights. I want to put my hair up, pour myself into something shiny, open my mouth and say what I feel like saying for a change. Gonna buy me a gold dress with pearl buttons and a split up both sides. Cause I ain't a child no more, hanging on to Mama Ethel's hand. Next time you see me, bet you won't know who you staring at. Bet you look right past me. I'm an up north woman now. It's about time Annie Pearl growed up, found work that ain't in dirt, learned some city words. Don't want nobody calling me country. Folks thinking Alabama can't be shook off and thrown out. So I pray to God every night for that dress money and maybe that man, he named Otis. So I iron my good shirt, clean up, say, my name's Otis. And she smiled behind her hand like she don't already know. I want to just skip this and feel all my body pressed on her, but God still is somebody in my head, and Annie Pearl still be his child. So she's saying things I should be hearing, but all I can see is stuff I'm not looking at. That rumble in her clothes, moon up against her skin, all that down south brown looking just right up here on the west side. I know she a little scared of the city. She dressed up like a big girl, putting on airs to make me think she more woman than she is. But she woman enough. I say, you know, you look real pretty in that dress, though the dress is plain gray and sewed flat. Then I add her name, Annie. I go a little crazy at the way he say my name. He say Annie like it's the first word he learned. So I feel his name, Otis, in my mouth before it come out. Then I pull it out slow and I see his eyes get real wide, like he about to outright praise his God because of what I said and how I said it. Ain't no lie, child, that felt good. But I ain't fooling myself. He ain't everything I want. He looking for some kind of job too, living in his one room. And I think I might not be the only woman he talking to. But he'll do me right. And I sure need some kind of strong man stand beside me in this city while I find me a church and someplace better to live. A real address where folks from down home can find me when they take the bus up. So I say, I've been watching you a long time. That's what I say. So I'm trying not to look at what I'm not looking at. And she say, all bold, I've been watching you a long time. And I say, Annie, you something else, you know? But what I'm thinking is, God, we stuck in this little talk. You know, Miss Annie Pearl, I think we need to go someplace. Have us some food. Maybe up there on Madison, someplace close like that chicken joint right down the street from the tavern. She smiles, and I swear I see something I hope I see again. What I think I see is some child in her, all worked up about going someplace new in the city, even a hole in the wall with burnt wings most folks don't want. She say, stiff like white folks, I really would like that, Otis. But I see her frowning a little bit when she looked down at her dress. I would have felt real slick walking into that chicken place in a dress with pearl buttons and splits on both sides. But Otis grinned and say, I look good in the dress I was in. That's the first time I thank God for him, even before I took him into my bed and tasted his mouth. I think it was knowing he cared about me enough to lie, say I'm a pretty child when I'm not. I feed him with my fingers, let him eat fried bread right off my plate while folks who know him whispering. I let them see who he gonna be with, the woman he was gonna be pressed up against from now on. I wanted to yell at them women, I'm the one he want. You tell everybody you know, here and in Alabama too, my name is Annie, and starting right now, I want you to know this my man, Otis. Don't know what made me think crazy like that. Maybe living in the city. Done heard it before, and now I'm about to believe that the big city ain't no place for a woman and a man. Every day that woman got to dress my wounds, hear about the ways I done got beat down. She get to see my head bowed all the damn time. I really try not to show my Annie how small I feel on the factory line. Try not to let her let on how much I want just for me before I even think of me and her. Like a fool, she lifts me up. I'm steady riding her shoulders, promising the world. It ain't right that I can't give her what she's dreaming on. I know she's starting to think maybe I'm not the man who deserves her gold. I'm just a plain Otis. God damn if that ain't a country name. And at night, I hear her ask God for something more. I play cards, sip my JB, run out of things to say to her, because she thinks a baby will save us. Lord, she wants a child. I know a woman got to be a natural fool to want to bring a child into this mess of broke glass and nailed up doors, this goddamn city. That's right, country girl lose Jesus now and then. You heard me say it, goddamn. Sometimes I close my eyes and can't feel my God. I sit up at night staring at them dirty city stars and waiting for Otis to knock on my door. I don't have to wait long, never do, because I think that wherever he is, he can feel me wanting. I hear him coming up my stairs, seems like slower each time. And when I open the door, I see what I'm afraid I'll see, that he's got no idea at all what I really want. I done long ago gave up on them pretty pearl buttons and that gold dress. I can't touch him. He puts his rough hand soft on my face, says, Annie, you want all of me? You think I'm a marrying man? Then let's make it right. I can't look her in her eyes, seeing all that lonely, and think I got a right to keep being me instead of doing right by the bow-legged Bama child I talked into loving me. My heart about blows up when she say, Otis, you mean it? And I hear myself say yes. I pick her up and press her whole body to me. And just for that second, the city disappears. Chicago and all its lies are gone. And I say, Annie, you need to be my wife. And I know I'm saying it just so I won't see that longing in her no more. I can't believe I was fool enough to think I could have my drink and my fast city women, then come home and say, baby, it's hard out there. And she would hold me wearing her dress that's plain gray and sewed flat. And that's all she'd ever want was that. Country Otis gone crazy, forgetting his woman and his God. I don't know how I'm gonna handle this thick in my bodyguard without Otis knowing it. He gonna be a father, and he sure got a right to know that, to know that our lives gonna be changed way before we say them vows. He got a right to know how many ways this big old city gonna get harder for us, the three of us. When he come home, say, Annie, it's gonna be all right. He talking just about me and him. He adding up our money every week, trying to cut down on the times he see his other women, coming home for dinner most every night. Otis is probably somebody's daddy already, somewhere. So why I think this gonna hit him so hard? Maybe it's because I think this child is all we gonna have. I'll feed it and have it and rock it to sleep and dress it in baby clothes and pretend that it's all we ever gonna want. So it looked like Annie Pearl about to get just what she want. I didn't seen pregnant women before, how they talk, eat, how God suddenly got a place in everything they say. I sit her down and say, Annie, I ain't no boy, and I ain't no fool either. I know you carrying a child, and I know that child is mine. Folks have babies all the time in the city, just like they did down south. Sure as my given name is Otis, I'm going to be here with you, do you right, and I'm going to have a say in how this child grows. I know she's scared. I know she think I might be the wrong man, that I can't hold still, and she right about that. But the world can make a man change. We gonna fix up our lives, make a place for this baby. I'm gonna get her that gold dress before she get big, before her stomach out there for everybody to see. Otis, the wrong man. Seems I spent a long time finding ways not to see that. Then I prayed on it. He ain't even a little of anything I want. When he don't come home for 2-3 nights, I ask God to change his ways or at least keep him alive. When the hungry city open his mouth and he walk in again, I got no idea what words to say to get him back. When I hear about them other women, how they dress tight, wear red lips and laugh with their mouths wide open, how Otis spend our money on that laughing, how he think he can still say, Annie, it's hard out there, while I get bigger and bigger with this child. I cry, and then I scream, because there's this pain like a knife slice right where my baby's supposed to be. Whether that man here or not, I think this about to happen. Child moving fast. I got no way to catch him. Whenever I think about the two orbiting stars, Otis and Annie, there's no way I can say how they came together and stayed. But I can see how the child who became Patricia Ann is equal parts of both of them. Otis and Annie, maybe with the help of some fool's God, etched a road right up Chicago's middle and placed a confounded girl there. In that dress that Otis, my daddy, promised his Alabama girl, it never stopped being a want. Thank you. Thank you. So please tell me you don't know the form. Right? No?
Yes.
What? Oh, you don't? Okay, good. Okay. It's a double sestina. So the words upright, city, child, Otis, God, see, Annie, say, think, dress, and want. I don't know. I was crazy. I drank a lot. It was okay. What surfaces can I use this product on? Answer. Lysol may be used on hard, non-porous surfaces throughout your home. Lysol cleans, disinfects, and deodorizes regular and non-wax floors, non-wood cabinets, sinks, and garbage pails. For painted surfaces, it is recommended that the product first be tested in a small, inconspicuous area. Can Lysol be used in the kitchen? Answer. Lysol may be used on countertops, refrigerators, non-wood cabinets, sinks, stovetops, and microwave ovens. For the bathroom, it may be used for tiles, tubs, sinks, and porcelain. And for all around the house, it may be used on floors, garbage cans, in the basement, and in the garage. Can I use this inside my refrigerator? Lysol may be used on the inside of a refrigerator. However, you must remove all food and rinse well after using the product. Can I use this to kill mold and mildew? Yes. Lysol controls the growth of mold and mildew. It kills the mold, but removal of the stain associated with mold and mildew can sometimes be tough. Can I use this to scrub the uncontrollable black from the surface of my daughter to make her less Negro and somehow less embarrassing to me? She's like the owl after midnight, that child is. Why? Yes. Begin with one Sears Gray swirl dinette set cheer, screeching across the hardwood on spindly steel legs. Place the offending child on the ruptured plastic of the seat. Demand that she bend her neck to grant you access to the damaged area. You know, of course, that black begins at the back of the neck. Grab a kitchen towel, a washcloth or sponge, and soak with undiluted Lysol concentrate. Ignoring the howls of the impossibly Negro child, scrub vigorously until the offending black surrenders. There may be inflammation, a painful rebellion of skin, or slight bleeding. This is simply the first step to righteousness. The child must be punished for her lack of silky tresses, her broad, sinful nose, that dark Negroid blanket she wears. Layers of her must disappear. Precautionary statements. Danger. Corrosive to eyes and skin. Harmful if swallowed. Causes eye and skin damage. Do not get in eyes or on skin. Wear protective eyewear and rubber gloves when handling. Woman, your mission is beyond this. You must clean the child. Burn the southern sun from her. If she squirms from the hurting of this, demand that she hold on to the sides of the chair. Soak towel or sponge with our patented holy water. Repeat application. I have tried to understand. Precautionary statements. My mother. Danger. Her hatred of this. Corrosive to eyes and skin. Of the me that wears this. Harmful if swallowed. The monster she had. Causes eye and skin damage. The monster she wanted. Do not get in eyes or on skin. Mama, can't you read it? You want me to read it to you? I can't help being my color. I am black. I am not dirty. I am black. I am not dirty. I am black. I am not dirty. What you have birthed upon me will not come off. My hair is black crinkled steel, too short to stay plaited. My ass is wide and will get wider. You can pinch my nose, but it will remain a landscape. You cannot reverse me. What is filthy to you will never be cleansed. There is only one thing you can change. I am not dirty, I am black. I am not dirty, I am black. I am not black, I am dirty. I am dirty black, not black. I am black and dirty, dirt is black. Black is dirty. You convinced me that I am what is wrong in this world. Scrub me right, bleed me lighter. What is the difference between disinfection and sanitation? Why are there two different usage directions for each? Answer. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, disinfection is killing more than 99.99% of germs on hard, non-porous surfaces in 10 minutes and may pertain to a number of different types of bacteria. The EPA defines sanitation as killing 99.9% of bacteria in 5 minutes or less. Lysol products achieve sanitation in 30 seconds. 29, 28, 27, 26, 25, 24, 23, 22, 21, 20, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, done. And the companion is a small, I'm going to end with a small poem in my mother's voice. Baby of the mistaken hue, child of the wrong nose with its measure unleashed, baby of the nappy knot, I am your mother, mad at your whole damned face. I swear to the task of torching the regrettable delta from your disobeying braids. I pinch your breathing shut to reteach the bone, smear guaranteed cream on your pimpled forehead, chin, and cheeks. I am the corrector. Soaking a kitchen towel with the blaze of holy water, I consider just what you are naked, recoil at the insistent patches of midnight blanketing your skin, and I scrub, scrub, push the hard heel of my hand deep into the dark, coax cleansing threads of blood to the stinging surface, nod gently in the direction of your mama, don't! I command you to bend, to turn, to twist in the wobbly dinette chair and reveal what hides from me, those places on you that still insist on saying Negro out loud. Remember how the non-believers screeched their non-belief at Jesus, even as he laid his giving hands upon them? One day you will comprehend the torch I am. You will be burned smaller, lighter, ever closer to the whiteness of my God who loves you as you are. Thank you. All right, coming back to the mic, we're gonna give you a break from the competition and bring some more fire to the stage. We have Patricia Smith. Please give her a warm round of applause.
Amanda.
I love you too. Okay, so I'm gonna do two pieces that are requests. So there are a couple of people here I know who've heard these, but I'm going to do these two. And they're long again, I'm sorry. This first one is, like I said, I grew up with Motown, but growing up on Motown is like having glitter flung into your eyes, you know? It's like, you know, if you listen to Motown songs, everyone has the word wait in it, wait, wait, wait. So if you were a little girl, you learn to believe that all you did was wait, and then this great, oh, you know what, hi. I'm sorry. This great love would come riding up on this white horse, and he would look like Smokey Robinson, and everything would be okay. When you get old, and then I was kind of looking at Motown artists now, and one of my favorite groups was the Temptations. And if you look at the reality, one died in a crack house, one committed suicide, one died of lung cancer. And you know, you look and you go, they were mortal. You kind of expected them to stay the way they were and guide you through the rest of your life, but they were mortal and they were fallible. So this poem is about looking from my perspective now at Motown and feeling rather deceived. And this is a crown of sonnets. So the last line of the first sonnet becomes the first line of the second all the way through. And the last, I'm saying this because I have students of form who say that don't ever do form during a reading. I'm like, the last sonnet is, I'm sorry. Thank you, Amanda. Ladies and gentlemen, Amanda Johnson. Oh, I'm sorry. Wow. And the last sonnet is comprised of the first lines of all the sonnets. So this is Motown Crown. The temps all swerve and pivot, conjured schemes that had us skip in school, made us forget how mama schooled us hard against the threat of five-part harmony and sharkskin seams. We spent our school days balanced on the beams of moon we wished upon, the needle jet black 45s that spun and hadn't yet become the dizzy spinning of our dreams. Sugar pie, honey bun, oh, you loved our tangled hair and rusty knees. Marvin Gaye slowed down while we gave chase, then wowed us with his skinny hips on cue. We hungered for the anguished screech of pleas from soulful throats, relentless and booming bass. From soulful throats, relentless booming bass softened with the turn of Smokey's key. His languid, liquid, luscious, aching plea for bodies we didn't have yet made a case for lying to ourselves. He would embrace our naps and raging pimples. We could see his croon inside our clothes. His pedigree of milky, flawless skin meant we replaced our daddies with his fine and lanky frame. I did you wrong, my heart went out to play, he serenaded, filling up the space that separated smoke from certain flame. Couldn't comprehend the drug of him, his sway, silk where his throat should be, he growled such grace. Silk where his throat should be and growling grace, little Stevie made us wonder why we even needed sight. His rhythm eye could see us click our hips and pump in place whenever he cut loose. Ooh, we done lace our Converse All-Stars. Yeah, we wondered why we couldn't get down without our shoes. We tried to dance and keep up with his funky pace of hiss and howl and hum, and then he'd slow to twist our hearts until he heard them crack, ignoring lonesome leaking from the seams. The rocking blind boy couldn't help but show us light. We wailed his every soulful track through open windows and neath the door, pipe dreams. Through open windows, neath the door, pipe dreams, served up Bone Bouffant, the serpentine and bug-eyed Lady D, the boisterous queen of overdone, her body built from beams of awkward light. Her slithering extremes just made us feel so small. Insanely lean, everywhere she stepped, she caused a scene. We craved her wigs and waist and crafted schemes that would ensure our hips would soon be thin, that we'd hear symphonies, wouldn't hurry, love, because Diana said, make sure it gleams no matter what it is. Her different spin, a voice like sugar air, no inkling of a soul beneath the vinyl, the Supreme. That soul beneath the vinyl, the Supremes knew nothing of it. They were breathy sighs and flowing hips, soul music's booby prize. But Mary Wells, so drained of self-esteem, was a pudgy barstool-riding bucktooth dream who none of us would dare to idolize out loud. She had our nightmares memorized, and like or like it not, she wailed our theme, while her too blackness made us ill at ease, and we smeared Artra on to reach for white. When Mary's My Guy blared, we didn't think race, because there was all that romance and the keys that Motown held. Unlocked, we'd soon ignite. We stockpiled extra sequins just in case. We stockpiled extra sequins just in case the Marvelettes pronounced we'd benefit from little dabs of shine. If we could get inside their swirl, a kind of naughty place, we knew that all of the boys would have to brace themselves against our heat, much too legit to dress up as some other thing. We split our blue jeans trying to match their pace, and soon our breasts began to pop. We spoke in bluer tones, and Berry Gordy looked and licked his lips. Our only saving grace, the luscious, liquid, languid tone of smoke, the soundtrack while our A-cup bras unhooked. Our sudden Negro hips required more space. Our sudden Negro hips required more space, but we pretended not to feel that spill that changed the way we walk. And yes, we still felt nappy, awkward, strangely out of place, while Motown crammed our eager hearts with lace and storylines. Romance was all uphill. No push, no prod, no bitter magic pill could lift us to its light, and not a trace of prizes they said we'd already won. As mamas called on Jesus, shook their heads and mourned our Delta names, we didn't deem to care. Religion? There was only one. We took transistor preachers to our beds, and Smokey sang a lyric dripping cream. While Smokey sang a lyric dripping cream, Levi tried to woo us with his growl. I can't help myself, admitted with a scowl. This bit of weakness was a clever scheme to keep us screaming, front row, under gleam of lights beside the speakers blasting vowels. We rocked and we steamed. Levi on the prowl glowed black, a savior in the stage light's beam. But then the stage light dimmed, and there we were in bodies primed for what we didn't know. We sang off key while skipping home alone. Deceptions that you sing to tend to blur and disappear in dance. Why is that so? Ask any colored girl and she will moan. Ask any colored girl and she will moan and answer with a downbeat and a sleek five-part croon. She's dazzled and she'll shriek what she's been taught. She won't be long alone or crazed with wanting more. One day she'll own that quiet heart that Motown taught to speak. She'll know that being the same makes her unique. She'll worship at the god of microphone until the bass line booms, until some old temptation leers and says, I'll take you home and heal you in the way the music vowed. She's mesmerized, his moves, his teeth of gold. She dances to the drumbeat of his poem, remembering how love had lied so loud. Remembering how love had lied so loud, we tangled in the rhythms that we chose. Seduced by thump and sequins, heaven knows we tried to live our looming lives unbowed, but bending led to break. We were so proud to mirror every lyric. Radio spit beg and mend, and sturdy stereos told us what we were and weren't allowed. Our daddies sweat in factories while we found other daddies under limelight's glow. Desperate, we begged them to illuminate the glitter lives they said they'd guarantee would save us. But instead, the crippling blow. We whimpered while the downbeat dangled bait. We whimpered while the downbeat dangled bait. We leapt and swallowed all the music said, while Smokey laughed and Marvin fell and bled. Their sitting slapped us hard and slapped us straight. And even then, we listened for the great announcement of the drum, for tune to spread, a marvelette to pick up on the thread. But as we know by now, it's much too late to reconsider love or claw our way through all the glow they tossed to slow our roll. What we know now, we should have always known. When Smokey winked at us and whispered, "They don't love you like I do," he snagged our soul. We wound up doing the slow drag all alone. They made us do the slow drag all alone. They made us kiss our mirrors, deal with heat and hips we couldn't control. They danced deceit, and we did too, addicted to the drone of revelation and the verses thrown our way. Oh, love will rock your world. The sweet, sweet fairy tale we spin will certainly beat the real thing any day. Oh, yes, we own you now. We sang you pliable and clueless, waiting, waiting. Oh, the dream you'll hug one day. The boy who craves you right out loud in front of everyone. But we told you. We know we did. We preached it with a shrug. Less than perfect love was not allowed. Less than perfect love was not allowed. Temptations begged as if their every sway depended on you coming home to stay. Diana whispered air, aloof and proud, to be the perfect girl beneath a shroud of glitter and a fright she held at bay. And Michael Jackson, flailing in the fray of daddy love, succumbed to every crowd. What would we have done if not for them, wooing us with roses carved of sound and hiding muck we're born to navigate? Little did we know that they'd condemn us to live so tethered to the ground, while every song they sang told us to wait. Every song they sang told us to wait, and wait we did, our gangly heartbeat stunned and holding place. Already so outgunned, we little girls obeyed. And now it's late, and CDs spinning just intimidate. The songs all say, just look at what you've done. You've wished through your whole life. And one by one, your trusting sisters realize they don't rate. So now, at 50 plus, I turn around and see the glitter drifting in my wake and mingling with the dirt. My dingy dreams are shoved high on the shelf. They're wrapped and bound so I can't see and contemplate that ache. The temps all swerve and pivot, conjured scheme. The temps all swerve and pivot, conjured schemes. From soulful throats, relentless booming bass, then silk where throat should be. Much growling grace from open window and neath the door, pipe dreams that sold beneath the vinyl. The Supremes used to stockpile extra sequins just in case Diana's Negro hips required more space, while Smokey penned a lyric dripping cream. Ask any colored girl and she will moan, remembering how love had lied so loud. I whimpered while the downbeat dangled bait and taught myself to slow drag all alone. Less than perfect love was not allowed, and every song they sang told me to wait. Thank you. Thank you. I was going to do a poem from Blood Dazzler. I'm not. I'm going to do something else. And this is when I grew up. I was a daddy's girl, and my daddy used to take me to the barbershop with him all the time. And when my son was young, I used to take him to the barbershop. And even though It was, you know, a place that was miles apart and years apart. It was almost like the same place. You've ever been to a black barbershop on Saturday morning where the balls of hair are rolling around the floor and there's pictures on the wall and they're black-like pictures and there's three of them. And it's Malcolm and it's Martin and it's Jesus Christ. I don't know what he had to do with your haircut, but... And there was also a card with picks, fisted picks that no one had bought since 1967. And the barber was always in everybody's business. So there was always a big picture window and people would pass by. And he had gossip about everybody who passed by. And he was always talking about how much sex he was going to get, even though you know he hadn't had any since the Eisenhower administration. So I was writing this persona poem and I was remembering this particular barber from Chicago and how he had this running commentary. And he'd talk about everybody and somehow he'd forget you were there and he'd start talking about you. You know, it's like, oh, sorry, I'll wait till you leave, you know. So I was trying to recreate his voice. So this is a tribute to a barber named Terrell in Chicago. And actually, I did this poem a couple of years ago, and someone came up to me and told me they knew the barbershop and that he had just recently died. So this is kind of a tribute to him. So mild sexual content. Everybody's just mild. Well, look who comes walking into my barbershop still wearing that Jerry Curl. You know, man, it's 2000, and ain't nobody got no time for that grease trickling all down their neck, especially how it is out there. Come here, let me clip that stuff down. Let those naps go out. You know, a couple of weeks, I will hook you up with a fade. The sisters don't like putting their hands in that greasy mess. And there's also that child Aretha on stage at the president's thing, trailing all that fur like she's Queen Elizabeth and all that fat underneath it. I ain't never seen no black woman with money stay fat. Chickens see her coming, even the bones get scared. That child will eat a spaghetti strap. What's that song she sang, Ain't No Way? Well, I guess it sure ain't. She got one chance, though. If you stay alive long enough, time will make you skinny. I just don't know if she got that much time. Oh, yeah, the red gal I was telling y'all about got enough ass to balance a drink on. I'm going to be knee-deep in that come Friday night or my name ain't Terrell Anderson Jr. and ain't got my hand tussling in y'all nappy heads. Man, she don't know me yet, but she will. I bet she already heard about how my lovemaking then put a few sisters on crutches. Hide and whip some of this nature on them. Now they drooling, barking like dogs. Hell, y'all can laugh if y'all want. Thomas, you ask your sister. And you over there, ask your mama. They say size don't matter, but it do if it's this size, man. I have to bind this to my leg. It will scare y'all out of here. Come next week, y'all can ask that gal y'all just seen. She be passing by that wind in the wheelchair. Mark my words. And Thomas, one too many times I haven't seen your wife over there across the street in the butcher shop. And the meat she asking for ain't what makes it to your table for supper. She's over there all behind the counter like she's interested in the butcher's business. What she interested in is the butcher's business. And you better start taking care of business at your own home, my man, before she get a taste of that sausage she's selling. Then you be up here talking about, she gone, she gone. Man, let me tell you, women are liberated nowadays. You can't be climbing up on top of them, poking them like you got somewhere else to be in 5 minutes. Is that a problem here in Lexington? Oh, I mean... Every time you get a chance, there you are up in the Continental, sniffing all up Deborah Ann's young butt like she wants something from you inside that money you always waving around. Man, let me tell you, anytime you see flies buzzing around a woman, and it ain't summer, it's time to move on to another woman. I don't know. Your wife got some nice legs on her, though. If that butcher don't take up on it, I might get in line. And wait, what'd you say? What's wrong with your boy? Damn near 40 years old, no woman in sight. Could be he just ugly, though. You know, the other night, I heard a blind woman turning him down. Say she could just imagine how ugly he was. Now, what are you over there talking about, some activator? Man, you better activate your head under this razor and let me cut that stuff out of there. This is, let me see if I can get this across to you. It's 2000. Black man, free now. Superfly done flew. I've been doing this 40 years. This is Terrell's Afrocentric Barbershop, Fade Palace, and Wild Style Emporium. Now put your ass in my chair and put your head in my hands. Thank you.
has been a presentation of the Kentucky Women Writers Conference and the University of Kentucky. Copyright 2010, all rights reserved.